Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
June of 1995, Captain Scott O'Grady was flying his F-16 over Bosnia in a routine air patrol when the Serbs fired a missile that ripped his plane in half. If you've seen the movie Behind Enemy Lines, you've seen a movie that was based off some of the facts in his encounter. Ripped his plane in half. He parachuted below, and for 6 days, he was behind enemy lines, surviving on just grass, insects, things he could eat. Occasionally, he would send out a signal to his commanders, letting them know of his condition and where he is. And for days, in Washington, and those that were in control weighed this option. Here's the question they asked. They weighed the cost of sending a rescue team to locate him and to rescue him. And they asked this question: how many lives should be risked to save one man? How much would it cost? What's the potential loss of further equipment? The mission would be certainly very dangerous. And yet, despite all the considerations, it was concluded that the value of saving one life outweighed any potential cost. They decided to retrieve the pilot using the signals he had sent out of the previous days as sort of a guide on how to locate him. They were able to find him and within 2 minutes secure him and bring him to safety. They decided this rescue happened because they just decided no matter the cost, no matter the risk, the retrieval of one person was worth any cost. I hope you see the spiritual connection this morning. We said last year about this time, we began rallying around this statement that because people matter to God, we as a church will be a catalyst. We'll be an agent of transformation in Central Arkansas and around the world. And just as our government decided that no price was too high to rescue this one pilot, I hope that each of us have somehow begun to grasp the concept that people matter to God and therefore they should matter to us. How many believe that this morning? How many believe that people matter to God? Amen. So therefore they should matter to us. I know that is an easy thing to say. It's a little bit harder thing to live. Matter of fact, we live in a world today where there's a lot of people that wonder. There's a lot of people you meet on the streets, there's a lot of people you work with, there's a lot of people you go to school with, and every day they wonder, does my life matter? Does anyone care about me? Does God care about me? And we've been kind of trying as a church, I hope you've been trying as an individual, to prove to other people that they matter to God and they matter to us. You know, Jesus lived his life with one mission: to seek and save those that are lost, to let people know that they matter to God. And not everyone understood what he was doing. Not everyone understood why he was doing what he did. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 15, it says these words: tax collectors and other notorious sinners. I like that word, notorious sinners. Do we have any notorious sinners in the house today? You don't have to raise your hand, but he's not talking about jaywalkers, right? Notorious sinners. I tell you what, I think there's a little bit of notorious sinners in all of us, isn't there? And some notorious sinners often came to Jesus to listen to him teach And this made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with sinful people and even eating with them. They didn't understand that even notorious sinners matter to God. Father, I love you today, and I'm thankful that each one of us in this room matter. We matter to you. Lord, your word reminds us that we matter so much, God, that you sent Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, so that any of us that would turn to you would never have to know the pain of perishing for eternity without you, but instead we can know the joy of eternity with you. I pray this morning that we would just, Lord, we receive fresh and new this commitment in our hearts that we matter to you. I also pray that we'd receive fresh and new in our hearts the reality that others matter to you. And since they matter to you, they should absolutely matter to us. So, Lord, help me today to speak this word to us and help us to hear what you want us to hear. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everybody in the room said amen. So not everyone was happy with the fact that people were saying, or that Jesus was saying, that people matter to him. They weren't excited about the fact that he was spending his days speaking to those who were not just sinners. They were notorious in their sin. They were known by their sin. I don't know about you, but there's been some days in my life where I was known by my sin. Oh, it may not have been in the front page newspaper. It may not have been known by everybody, but it was always known by somebody. And I spent a lot of my days afraid that those somebodies were going to tell everybody about what they knew. Have you ever been there this morning? And Jesus was speaking to those who were aware of their need of him. And there were those that said, you know, why don't you leave those sinner, nasty, dirty, unreached people, and why don't you come sit with us sophisticated, righteous people? And Jesus answered that notion in Luke chapter 19. He said, well, I came to seek and save that which was lost. I came to help. It's those that aren't sick don't need a doctor. I came to seek and save that was lost. And immediately in our text, he began to answer their questions by telling them their three stories. And many of you know these three stories. The first story he told was about a lady who had 10 coins. Now, this isn't like 10 quarters. This is a significant amount of money. She had 10 coins, and she lost one. And how many know what she did when she lost it? Right? She searched her house. And she looked and she looked and she looked for that which was lost. And then when she found it, she rejoiced that her one coin had been found. Then Jesus tells another story. He said there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep. And one of his sheep wandered away. And the shepherd left the 99 sheep that were in safety. And he went after and he searched until he found that one lost sheep. And he brought that one home. Then the third story he tells was the story of a father who had two sons. And one son said, listen, Dad, this is great, this is wonderful, but I think my life would be better lived away from you. How many ever had a moment where you thought your life would be better lived outside of God's way? If so, you know what this guy feels like. He said, just give me what I deserve and let me leave. And so the father gave him his inheritance and he went out. And the Bible says he lost it all in a riotous living. He ended up broke and he had to live his days serving on a farm, keeping pigs, which was disgusting for him. Until one day the Bible says he came to his senses and he thought, man, surely the servants in my father's house live a better life than what I'm living. And he began to go back home. And as he was walking back to his house, the Bible says while he was still a long way off, the father saw his son coming in the distance. And instead of waiting for his son to get all the way home, the Bible says that the father did something very undignified for people on that day. It's definitely undignified for a righteous person or a ruling person or a wealthy person. With this father was probably all three of those things. He ran after his son and he threw his arms around and he welcomed me home and he said, my son who was dead, my son who was lost is now home. And Jesus was telling those Pharisees who were upset that Jesus was eating with sinners that this is why I'm here. Because people matter to me. And since people matter to God, they should matter to us. I want to tell you three things this morning about this scripture, about these parables that Jesus told. The first thing is this, is we've got to realize people matter to God. I want to ask you to say that point out loud with me this morning. On your mark, set, go. People matter to God. Let me ask you, how much do people matter to God? Do they matter a little? Or do they matter a lot? Do they matter enough for God to reach out to them when it's convenient for him? Or does it matter so much that he'll do what even may seem inconvenient to reach people? I'll tell you how much it matters to God. It's the answer is found in John 3:16. It matters so much to God. People matter so much to God that he sent his only begotten son to rescue them. That's how much he loves them. Matter of fact, even on the cross, when we read about Jesus giving his life for the sin of the world, right? The sin of the world. The Bible says that the transgressions, the sin of the entire world was on the shoulders of Jesus on the cross. And yet with all of that pressure, with all that weight, people matter so much to him that in the closing moments of his life, with all the agony and pain and the emotional turmoil of all the sins of the world for generations, he still looks to the thief next to him and he has compassion for him. And he says, even you can be with me today in paradise. The last moments of his life were proving that people matter to him. All people matter to God. Amen. People matter to him. Which, let me just tell you, if you have a phone out, why don't you take it out right now? Take it out of your pocket and take a selfie. And post it on Facebook and tell the world, this person matters to God because you matter to God too this morning. Well, Pastor, you don't know. I'm broke. I'm busted. I'm disgusted. I'm short. I'm tall. I'm bald-headed. I know your pain, but I know this, God. You matter to God this morning. Amen? God only made a few perfect heads, and he put hair on the rest of them. So if you look like me this morning, welcome to the club. It's a great club. I think in heaven, you're all going to look like me. Perfect. I don't really have scripture for that, but that's just what I think. But people matter to God. And I hope I don't get so excited and passionate about telling you that people matter to God that I miss out on communicating to you this morning, you matter to God. Maybe you walked in and you feel like when Jesus, we read that scripture, Jesus was eating with notorious sinners and people said, hey, you shouldn't hang out with that person. Maybe someone said that about you sometime. Maybe they said, hey, you shouldn't hang out with that person. You shouldn't hang out with that boy. You shouldn't hang out with that girl because your sin was so well known. But I can tell you today, there is something more known than your sin, and that is the grace of Jesus Christ that can cover every sin this morning. You matter to God. You matter to him. People matter to you. There's people in my life that I've written off that I thought, God, they'll never change. But I have to remember, they matter to God. And God can change those that I've said would never change. Amen? People matter to him. People matter to him. And if they matter to him, then they should matter to us. See, here's what's been the thing that's hard for me to get over is that people matter to God even when they do stupid things. I asked Megan this week, I said, is it okay if I use the word stupid in a sermon? I mean, can I really put that on the wall of the church? And I gave her some other options, and she said, people understand stupid better than they do those other things I was saying. So there you go. But I'll use the word stupid because of this. Sin makes you do stupid things. I mean, think about the father who had two sons and one said, give me what's mine so I can leave. He did stupid things, didn't he? I mean, you look at the son who walked away. He had it made. I mean, he didn't just have riches and wealth and notoriety and all these things. He obviously had a dad who loved his guts out. Because you don't You don't do things that hurt you to give someone else what they want because you don't like that person. You do it because you love that person. This father gave his son. And even the son, when he's in the pig pen, the Bible uses this phrase, he came to his senses. So when he had lost it all, he realized, man, I've been stupid. Have you ever spent a moment doing life your own way and finally you thought, man, I was so stupid? And I'll just tell you, that is so hard because, listen, if you do something stupid, which I know you don't do it very often, but if you do something stupid, I have no problem forgiving you. But when I do something stupid, I have a hard time forgiving myself. I hate it when I do stupid. I'm pretty good at it, but I still hate it when I do it. In Christ, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I wish it didn't take a pig pen experience to make us come to our senses. But I'm so glad that when we do come to our senses, he still redeems us. Amen? I'm so thankful for that. The Bible says the Father watched daily for his son to come home because his son mattered. People matter. Even he said, Pastor, you understand that person's doing something stupid. Maybe you think, Pastor, I've done something stupid. You still matter to God. Here's the thing, is people also matter to God during wandering times. The second story Jesus told was about a man that had 100 sheep. And one of them was lost. You know, there's an old song. You may not know this song, but there's an old song. I mean, old song. Old song. I can't tell you how old. I'm just telling you it's old. But there's an old song that is called Come Thou Fount. You ever know that song? Even the title sounds old, right? Come Thou Fount. It's a King James Version title. But in that song, there's a verse that says, prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You know what sheep are known for? Their propensity to wander off. Right? They wander off. And here's the deal. You matter to God and people matter to God even when they wander off. I'll never forget as a kid, I was an expert wanderer. I don't know if they still do this, but back in the day, if you got lost at Walmart, you could go to the front and tell them, I'm lost. And they would announce your parents' name over the intercom. Do they still do that? I haven't lost my kids yet, so I don't know. But it happened so often that my mom finally set me down one day and she said, Greg, obviously you're gonna keep getting lost, but I'm embarrassed by having my name called out. So would you please just stop telling them to say my name? Just sit there and eventually I will show up. Listen, there's multitudes of people that are just wandering through life. And some of them have wandered into addiction. Some of them have wandered into religion. Some of them have wandered into bad relationship after bad relationship, and their life is a mess. But I want to tell you, Isaiah 53 reminds us that we, like sheep, have all gone astray. We've all left God's paths to follow our own. And yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. You matter to God even when you waste seasons of your life wandering. You still matter to God. And people still matter to God. People matter to God even when they're lost. Even when they're lost, they're valued. They still have value to God. You know, there's the story Jesus told about the lady who had 10 coins and she lost one. Here's the thing about a coin doesn't lose itself, right? A coin gets knocked off the shelf or off the table. It gets, you know, it falls out of a pocket with a hole in it. A coin gets lost. It's sort of circumstantial. It just kind of happens. You know, there's people down the street and around the world. We're going to talk about them at the end of the service. There are some people that are lost today and they don't even know they're lost. Right? They're not living in open rebellion against Jesus. They've never heard the name Jesus. And if they did hear it, it definitely wasn't in the context of salvation. But those people matter to God too. Some of you know what it's like to feel worthless because you've lost something due to circumstances or due to life. Some of you are wondering, listen, I've lost my marriage. Am I still valuable? I've lost my ministry. Am I still valuable? I've lost my freedom and now are in prison. I've sinned and I've lost it all. And I'm just wondering, am I valuable? And the answer to you this morning is yes. Despite how you got there, you matter to God. You do. Jesus ate with these notorious sinners because he loved them. They were the lost coins. They were the lost sheep. They were the lost sons. And they matter to him, so therefore they must matter to God. And you all said a few moments ago, people matter to you. So then listen, let's believe. Here's point two this morning if you're following along with me in your notes. Then let's believe people are worth searching for. Luke 19 says, the Son of Man came to seek. And that phrase, the Son of Man, is just the way Jesus referred to himself a whole lot. So don't let that phrase mess you up this morning. Jesus was saying, the reason I showed up was to seek and to save the lost. He said, I'm here to seek people. The lady, the shepherd, and the father, they kept looking until what was lost was found. They were persistent in their searching. And they made their searching a priority. Even the father who had a home to run, a business to run, a ranch to run, whatever business he was in. Even the father, though he was about his business doing a lot of things, he saw his son a long way off. So let us know that even while he was doing other things, he was still searching for that lost son. He was still looking. How many of you ever lost something that you valued? Right? What'd you do about it? You look for it, right? You look for it until you found it. Here's the thing. We don't search for things that don't matter. We have these pins. They say the assembly on them. If you would like one, you can have this one. Other day, I was at the house, and I opened up the drawer because I was wanting to write something down. And in that drawer was like, I don't know, 15 or 20 of these things. And I've never taken one home on purpose. It's not like one day I took 20 pens out of Nanetta's office and said, hey, now we'll have pens at our house. But what happens is I lose them. Sometimes I lose them in my pocket. Sometimes I lose them in my backpack. Sometimes I lose them in my truck. And I can tell you, when I lose one of these pens, I don't spend 6 hours looking for it. Why? Because I know there's like hundreds more just like it right down the hall. So I just go down the hall and I grab a handful more. And 2 weeks later, I repeat because I lose them all the time. I don't even look for it. Someday it'll show up. Or if it not, somebody will find it. Maybe they'll come to church. Awesome, great, wonderful. But the fact that I don't search for it says something about my value. What does it say about... I know we all just said people matter to God and people matter to us. But when we're not searching, isn't that sort of an indictment against us? See, 20 years ago, Megan gave me this wedding ring. And at the time, it took her the better part of 4 to 6 months to scratch up enough dollars to buy this thing. It's not because it's that expensive. It's just because, you know, when you're 19 years old working a part-time job, you don't make a whole lot. But she bought it for me. And of course, I've been wearing it since we got married, and you know, for 20 years now. But I've got a bad habit. If one of you is up here speaking, I'll be paying attention, but I'll be doing something like this. I toy with it. Play with it when other people are speaking and not me. It helps me focus. That's what I always tell her. Or if I'm Or if I'm driving, I'll have one hand on the wheel, and sometimes I'll. And for 20 years, Megan's been telling me, stop playing with that ring. She says, you're going to drop it and you're going to lose it. And our daughter is at home with the flu, so she might be watching right now. But y'all don't tell her in case she's not. And for 20 years, I've been telling her, I'm not going to lose it. The problem is I've lost it. It's fallen in, you know that crease between your car seat and that thing? Things go in there and they never come back. And this ring has gone in there multiple times. And I've stopped on the side of the road and fished it out multiple times. More than once, I've been sitting in a church service and it's fallen off my ring. One morning, I was sitting right here where Jason was. It fell off and it rolled under the seat to the altar area. I had to get up during service and snatch it. Another time, I was on staff at our church in Jonesboro, and this is like back in the days where preachers used to sit on the platform, and while the pastor was up there preaching, I was sitting there listening intently, and in the middle of his message, it fell off my finger right into the front, and now I've got to decide, am I going to get that? And we were on television, so I knew the whole world, or everyone in Northeast Arkansas, has got to know if I get up. But I thought, you know what? It's worth it. I got up and I took it. It was embarrassing. It was not comfortable. I had to admit that I had done what I said I would never do. But I did it because I believed it was worth going after. Listen, we've got to believe that the people in Central Arkansas and the world are worth going after. Amen? And I'm like you. I'm like, well, Pastor, what if I invite them to church and they say no? Well, what if they say yes? What if I share what Jesus has just done in my life and they say they're not interested? What if they are interested? Here's what I've discovered. A lot of times I'll share my faith. I'll invite someone to church. I'll do neither of those. I'll just do something good for them to share with them the love of Christ. And in the moment, they don't respond at all. About a month later, or 6 months later, or a year later, they'll say, you know what? Remember that day? And that thing that I thought had no impact had great impact. You have no idea the impact your life can have the moment you decide people matter to God and therefore they're going to matter to me and I'm going to do what I can to search for them. It'll change your life and it'll change the life of others. John Piper said this quote that really spoke to me about this. He said, don't wait for a feeling or love in order to share Christ with a stranger. You already love your Heavenly Father, and you know that this stranger is created by Him, but separated from Him. So take those first steps in evangelism because you love God. It is not primarily out of compassion for humanity that we share our faith or pray for the lost. It's first of all, out of our love for God. See, our love for God should push us to love people and to search for people. Matter of fact, didn't Jesus say, if you want to wrap all the teachings in the two things, what did Jesus say? Love God and love people, right? Because here's the deal. When there is unequal concern between two people about something that's lost, friction happens. Has the airline ever lost your luggage? You know what causes the friction when they lose your luggage? It's because you are deeply concerned that your luggage makes it home. And I don't always get the feeling they are. Press 7 doesn't communicate to me that my luggage matters to them. Right? It doesn't It doesn't speak that. I feel like I'm a number. I feel like I'm in a line that wraps around the universe two times. And it creates a little bit of friction in me towards that airline because there's something that's lost and it matters greatly to me, but I'm not really sensing that it matters greatly to them. And our difference of concern about what is lost creates friction. God is deeply concerned about the lostness of people. And until we also are concerned about that, there's going to be a little bit of friction between us and the Father. Because people matter to God, they got to matter to us. If coins are worth searching for, if sheep are worth searching for, if one son is worth searching for, surely multitudes of people that you and I pass every single day are worth searching for. In just a few moments, I'm going to tell you, we've kind of talked about this as being Vision Sunday because in 2020, we're going to turn up the fire a little bit. We're going to turn up the heat. We're going to try to turn up our passion about searching for missing people. It's one of the objectives we have for 2020. And we're doing that not to try to outdo what we've done before. We're doing that because we understand people matter to God. And therefore we got to prove that they matter to us. Here's the third thing that Jesus teaches about that. Not only do people matter to him, not only are people worth the search, but we've got to celebrate people being found. In each of those occasions, you discover people celebrating what is being found. The lady who lost her coin told her neighbor. The father who received his son threw a party. Right? And by the way, we also know from the words of Jesus that all of heaven throws a party when one person comes to know Jesus. That's pretty exciting, especially when you consider that just in the month of January alone, we had over 12 people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior on Sunday mornings. Amen. Let's celebrate that. Amen. People matter to God. They do. You matter to God. Heaven celebrates. So we got to make sure we're celebrating what heaven celebrates. Celebrate people being found because that's what heaven celebrates. Celebrate people being found because we can't afford to be satisfied with what we have. I mean, if I'm the shepherd, I might be tempted to go back and tell the master, you know what? I got 99 out of 100. Isn't that an A? But he wasn't satisfied with a missing sheep. She wasn't satisfied with a missing coin. And the father certainly wasn't satisfied with a missing son. See, here's the deal. Apathy works against celebration. It's been said the opposite of love. Some of you are disappointed you came to church on Valentine's Day weekend and the pastor's preaching about, you know, reaching people instead of your marriage, your relationship. Here's your relationship nugget this morning. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. And anytime indifference or apathy finds its way into any relationship, marriage, family, or your relationship with God, then you're on a downward spiral. So we can't be apathetic about those who are lost and those that don't know Christ. We've got to, and one of the ways it's been said by leadership gurus around the world, that you always get what you celebrate. So we got to start celebrating what God is doing. And last, we got to celebrate what God is doing, not hold grudges against what God is doing. The father is rejoicing, right, when the lost son comes home. He says, bring the fatted calf and bring out a robe and a ring. And for my son who was lost or my son who was dead is now, he's come home. He's alive once again. And he's throwing a party. But out somewhere was the other brother. And how many know what the other brother was doing? Not happy, right? He said, he was so unhappy, he wouldn't even come to the party. And his dad went out to speak to him. He said, son, what's the deal? And the brother that never left home said, well, look at here. I've served you. I've been faithful to you. I didn't go waste my half of the money. I've been right here with you. And the father said, listen, look, everything I got's yours. But this son of mine, though he was lost, he's home. We have to celebrate. We can't afford. Listen, I want to ask you to join with me in deciding this morning that there's no one that's so far gone that God cannot reach. And there's no one who's done so much bad that we can't rejoice when God works it all for good in their life. People matter to God, so we've got to celebrate that. I hope I've convinced you this morning that people matter to God. How many are you convinced? I'm going to put you on the spot. How many are you convinced people matter to God? Lift your hand real quick. I'm convinced people matter to God. I'm looking to see who doesn't have your hand up, and we're going to squirt you with a water gun after service if you don't have your hand up. Okay. All right. So we're all on the same page. People matter to God. They matter a lot to God. Now the next question is this. Do they matter to me? And if they matter to me, how much do they matter to me? Do they matter enough to me that I'll share with them the hope I have? Do people matter enough that I'll serve when given a chance to serve? Do people matter enough to me that I'll give so that someone that's never heard the gospel can hear the gospel? Do people matter enough to me to give my time so someone can hear? Do they matter enough to me to give my money so someone can have a chance to hear the good news or have their life impacted? I know all of us would raise our hands again and say, yeah, people matter to God, and so they matter to me. But the question I'm asking is deeper this morning. How much do they matter to you? We saw how much they matter to Jesus. They matter so much he gave his own life. But are we willing to give our life? Someone once said years ago that if Christ loved me enough to give his life for me, surely I should love him enough to live my life for him. But I would take it beyond that. I think we need to love people enough and love God enough to not just live our life for him, but to give our life in service to the Lord. So everything I'm going to present to you in the next few minutes is about us. That's the why we're doing these things. And every one of these projects I'm about to share with you, every piece of this outreach vision for 2020 is going to require two things. It's going to require you to, number one, give financially. And number two, it's going to be an opportunity for you to serve with your time, with your prayer, praying for these things, serving in some of these areas. And it's really easy when you're going through projects like this, your eyes just fixate on dollars and cents. But listen, we need you covering, we need you investing in prayer, we need you investing in serving when these opportunities come. Last year, we shared with you a lot of projects. And, you know, last year, the number, the financial number on what we needed to happen, able to complete what the Lord laid upon our heart to complete, the staggering part that I couldn't get over was it's going to take $110,000 to do that. And some of those faith-filled people in this room, including myself, thought we were a little bit crazy for tackling that. Thought that was a little bit impossible. Anyone feel that way? I did. But here we are on the other side of impossible. Amen? And to God be the glory. Great and mighty things he's done. We're going to share a video at the end of this service about some of those things that was included in that. But this year we've got some more things to do. And I'll just tell you the big news first. Instead of trying to raise $110,000 this year to reach people, it's actually going to take about $117,000 to do what the Lord's laid upon our heart. I'm going to break that up for you because there's a little bit of good news on top of that. First off, there's a missions team going to Honduras in January. They've already knocked off, or they will be knocking off $16,000 of that. Our students have kind of gotten crazy about Jesus and Speed the Light, and they've already taken $12,500 off of that for this year. Our kids have gotten crazy about Jesus. They're committed to to reaching backyard orphans this year, and they've knocked $8,500 off of these projects for us this year. So there's $36,000. Our young people, our missions team. Can we just give our young people a great round of applause this morning? But that leaves you and me with about $80,000 worth of opportunity to prove that people matter to God and they matter to us. And we can prove they matter to us. We can prove that they matter to God by serving, by praying, and by giving towards these projects this year. So this year, I'm just going to go through some of these. The first thing we're going to do this year is we're going to build a church in a place maybe you've never heard of. It's called the Gambia. There is currently a church that meets every single Sunday of the year under a tree or in a mud hut. Wherever they can find, they gather together and they have church. They have church in the shade, in the heat. They have church when people are distracting them as they walk by. They have church where people are many times trying to persecute them because of their faith. And here they are in an unsecured location, just praising God, receiving God. It's a very dangerous situation. The good news is that someone's already bought this church a piece of land. All they need is someone to come and set up a structure where they can have a place to worship God, not just for a Sunday, but for generations of Sundays. And you and I are going to build that church for them, that structure for them. And it's going to cost us $7,500. And we're going to do that this year. We're going to build a church. There's going to be an assembly located in the Gambia. Amen? $7,500. The good news is that that missionary came by a few weeks ago, and you've already given about 10% of that $7,500. So we're on our way to see that happen. This year, we're going to continue to provide fire Bibles. Now, some of you may not know what a fire Bible is. A fire Bible is the Word of God. It's a study Bible that has commentary and notes already in it. And so you can literally give it to a pastor who has never been to Bible school, never had training, but it explains to them what they can teach, what the Word of God says about that. And it's not just in some language they have to know how to interpret. We have pastors that, number one, they don't have the Word of God in their language. And number two, the Word of God they do have is just a portion. It's just a bit of God's Word. It's not a complete thing. But we're going to be handing pastors a copy of God's Word. This year we're committing $5,000 to make sure a pastor in a place that's never had the Word of God in his own heart language and the notes to go with that, we're going to say, hey, here you go. Do what God's placed in your heart. And I'm here to tell you, there's nothing like seeing a pastor receive something that he knows doesn't just change his life, but the congregation of his people. It's pretty phenomenal. Matter of fact, we're going to let you look in on what happens in those moments real quick.
Decided that every pastor,
kila mchungaji,
you will be given one of these Bibles.
So this is a response to them knowing I get a copy of God's Word in my heart language. It's not a small deal. It's a big deal. And you're helping us do that this year. Our next project is Options Pregnancy Center. Miss Vicki, so proud of the work you do. And it doesn't get any more local than Options Pregnancy Center. I mean, Miss Vicki, she birthed that ministry out of our church. And it outgrew this facility and what the church could provide in those days. And now it's not just outgrown the facility, it's outgrown Cabot. You're going to find that ministry in multiple places and impacting people's lives. obviously, if you know our story, my wife and I's story, we thank God for people like Vicki every day. So I'm convinced that, hey, God birthed that thing out of here. I think we need to be a premier partner with her. And so this year, they're not just starting to open another center in another town. What they're trying to do is they're trying to buy a mobile imaging center that can not just service people in Cabot, but people around this part of the state. It's been proven that the increase of unborn lives saved through a mobile ministry like this is up to 80% higher when they can go into places where the people wouldn't come to them. I was shocked when Vicki shared with me this stat that when you go due east of Cabot, there isn't another pregnancy center until you reach Memphis, Tennessee. Wow. When I talked to her a few months ago, they were lacking $75,000 to finish purchasing this unit. I know that number's dropped since then because there's other churches and other people helping, but we decided we were going to adopt 10% of that number. So this year we're going to raise $7,500 and help purchase this mobile unit so she can take the life-saving news of Jesus around our community. The next project we're going to partner with this year is we're partnering with a place called Lonesome Dove Boys Ranch. And the good news about this one is they don't even know we're doing this morning. And so at the end of the year, we're going to call them back and celebrate them. But there's a place that's just south of our city. It's right outside of Fordyce. They target at-risk young men, teenage boys especially. Teenage boys that are in the foster care system, but because of behavioral issues, they can't be housed anywhere except for places like Lonesome Dove. And they've seen life after life. Right now, they can house, I think, about 6 or 7 boys at a time, but they've acquired a facility that, upon its completion, will take them from housing 6 boys at a time up to 40 boys at a time. Amen? And this is something, matter of fact, we worked with a teacher here at our school system a few months ago. We almost sent our first kid from Cabot down there. So this is not something that just helps people far off. This is going to help us take care of troubled foster kids in our own midst that are having these types of issues. The director was telling me a few weeks ago about a young man. I met him 2 years ago when he first entered the program. Young man, no home, no church background. People in his family were just very violent, drug-infested situation. Just anything you can imagine was imaginable. And this young man came to be a part of the program, live on the ranch there with them. He's been there for 2 or 3 years now. Currently, that young man, not only has he given his life to Jesus, he's on the honor roll at school. And he's serving in the kids' ministry at his local church. Amen? I'm so thankful that someone decided that young man mattered to God. Amen? We're going to show him. This summer, if you'd like to, we're going to take a trip down there. And this $5,000 we're raising for them, we're going to go down there and spend it and actually help them complete the project of construction on this. And so if you're 12 years old or older, you're welcome to go with us. We're going to see the kingdom of God expand down there and help kids. Next is our monthly support for missionaries. You help us every month by giving. Last year, there was over $10,800 was given to support about 30 different missionaries and organizations every single month. When you give, you're giving to help them, help us support missionaries so they can have a place to live around the world. Help us. Thank you for helping us with that. This year, we also want to invest in our community like never before. We've been investing through things like the Easter egg extravaganza and the gooeyest adventure, and we've been helping and investing in things like Champ Camp and Christmas outreaches, and you've been helping us feed students on a weekly basis, and And we're going to continue to do that. But we also, we're contacting our schools, and we're just saying, what on earth can we do to be a blessing to our school system? And we didn't want them to ask. We didn't want them to just think small. But we wanted them to have permission to dream a little bit. What do you really need? And so we've dedicated $16,000 that we're just taking to our schools and saying, hey, how can we help you? And so when you give this year, you're helping us reach out to our local schools, and we're going to believe that God's going to enable us to make a difference like never before. And then last, not least, there is about $20,000 of things we're doing here around our church. Last year, there were several things that you helped us do. We replaced that carpet that you're standing on this morning, and maybe you thought it's not a big deal. If you'll see the before and after pictures, it was a really nasty big deal. But thank you, and thank you for helping us with that sign. All that is paid for this morning because of what you did last year through Vision 2019. So I'm going to help you again this year. We're only asking for about $20,000 to take care of a few things that are just screaming for help. And the good news about that is about $4,000 of that $20,000 is already taken care of itself. So we're on the road for that. So God bless you. But today I'm just asking you to partner with us. And every year we kind of pitch something. The first year I was here, we pitched something called Forward. We were just taking care of some of the stuff in our past that we just knew if we deal with it, God would bless us and allow us to do so much more than we'd ever imagined. And you guys responded and did that. Last year we called it Vision 2019, and you responded. This year, we're just calling this vision for this year Kingdom Builders. Kingdom Builders. Because we don't want you to just give money or give your time or just give prayer towards these things. We want you to understand that every time you give and every time you pray and every time you serve, you are building God's kingdom here in Cabot and around the world. And so for now to the foreseeable future, we're not going to pitch a different name every year. It won't be Vision 2021. It's just going to be called the Kingdom Builders. And every time you give to the Kingdom Builders, you're giving towards those projects I just named. Now, there might be a person that's sitting here thinking, why on earth are you doing these things, Pastor? And why are you taking our time this morning? Why are you trying to get me to buy into something and give more of my time and give more of my money and give more of my prayer? I've got enough going on. I'm trying to get you to do it this morning because people matter to God. And people matter to us. And we prove that they matter to us. This is the moment where we answer the question, how much do they matter to me? So I want to ask you, in your seat or in the seat next to you, when you walked in the door this morning, there should have been a card that said Kingdom Builders. I want to ask you to reach out, reach down and grab one of those. And this morning we're asking you to simply put your name on the top line and prayerfully consider what I will give towards Kingdom Builders. You know, one of the projects I didn't mention, somehow I got carried away, but one of the projects in Kingdom Builders this year is our camp scholarships. I'm so thankful to tell you, since I've been here anyway, we've never had a kid that didn't go to camp because they couldn't afford it. Amen? And so we've designated $4,000 to Kingdom Builders to take care of camp scholarships this year as well. And we are neck deep in time to sign up for camp, by the way. But if you'll take this card, just write your name on it, and say, you know, Pastor, I'm going to be a Kingdom Builder by giving. And in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to pray about what you should put in that box. And then we're going to take an offering to receive all these. And that second blank, you might want to give something today. If you didn't come prepared to give and you got our Realm app on your phone, there's a tag called Kingdom Builders. You can give that on your phone this morning. Or you can give something, cash or check. And we just ask you to write that down, especially if you're giving in cash today, so we'll know to credit your account by this. And I just ask you to prayerfully consider. The last few years, I've always done this. I've always told you first what Megan and I are doing. And I don't do that to brag. I do that because I'm the pastor. And I can't ask you to do something that I'm not doing myself. And if I'm asking you to do something that I'm not doing myself, then that's a lack of integrity on my part. And so I'm not ever going to do that. And so I'm going to share with you, I've been praying, Lord, what would you have me do this year? And I'm just telling you what I'm doing, not because I'm asking you to do it. I'm just telling you to do it. Tell you what I'm doing so you can know that he's doing something. And maybe it'll create some creative ideas on how the Lord would open your heart. But I'll tell you what I finally just thought. I prayed and prayed. The last few years, I've just been giving, just saying, hey, Lord, I'm going to give whatever. And, you know, I think the number's been around $1,000 this year. But like many of you, some of you other crazy people in the room, you committed X amount of dollars last year. And you just blew right past it. You gave way more than that to Kingdom Builder or to Vision 2019. But you know, we were praying, Lord, what do you want to do? So here's where I landed this year. Now, I'm just telling you this for accountability purposes, not telling you you got to do this. But I decided this year that I'm going to give a day's income a month to Kingdom Builders. How do you figure that out? Figure out how much you make in a year and divide it by 365, or you decide how much you make in a month and divide it by 30. And if you're a mathematician, that means that on top of my tithe, I'm giving like, what, an extra 3% as the base for this. But I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just telling you we all need to do something. And I don't want it to be something that we do just out of an emotion of the moment, but something we decide that we're going to do every day of this year, every month of this year, because we do believe people matter to God. We do believe. How much do they matter? They matter enough for me to lead a life group. Maybe that's a response you need to make today. They matter enough for me to serve. They matter enough for me to come and show up at the church on a different day besides Sunday and do something for him. They matter enough for me to tell someone about the Lord on my job. They matter enough for me to buy someone's dinner that I don't even know why I'm doing it, because I just want them to know that they matter to God. Whatever it is the Lord will speak to you about today. For the year is in that middle section. For today is in that bottom one. I want to ask you just to pray with me. And then our ushers are going to come. Would you bow your heads all across this room? Father, we thank you that we matter to you. And Lord, I pray right now, there's a person that's in this room. They've been doubting if their life matters. Lord, I pray this moment they'll remember their life matters. It matters to you. It matters to this church. And Lord, we also know that other people matter as well. So this morning, we're just making a commitment, not out of emotional response alone, but Lord, out of the Spirit speaking to our heart what you'd have us to do. So God, I just pray that you'll speak. Spirit of God, speak to every heart this morning and how you would have them to partner with Kingdom Builders in 2020 to just show, just be the evidence in their life that people matter to you. And whatever it is, Lord, even if it seems outside of our realm of possibility, I'm thankful that you always provide for us. Lord, when we move, you move too. When we obey you, you always release the ability that we didn't know we had. Lord, you've done it before. I pray you'll do it again. Lord, give us the confidence to see you do it again. And we'll give you thanks for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.